There's a wonderful organization here in Harrisonville called CASCO that does an amazing work with disabled and differently abled adults. Most of what I know about CASCO comes from our guest preacher today, and that is Mr. Joe Barron, who is a community resource specialist of CASCO. I like to think of him as the face of CASCO. He's just been a dear friend for several years now. And today, it's not only my honor, but actually just, the culmination of a dream that Joe is here with us today. So without further ado, I want to invite Joe to turn on his mic and share God's words with us today. Let's give him a welcome.
Cut this on. Oh, is it on? Oh.
You got it. I know, I have to do that too.
Don't give me a lemon and a glass of water and ask me to make lemonade. Don't tell me to grab a bull by the horns. And by all means, don't ask me to get back on a horse after I didn't fell off of him. I hope that this past week that faith and courage was a part of your life. And I want to thank the Harrisonville Church for inviting me here. It's not me, it's Jesus that we all come to see. We all come to worship. We all come to be like him. Again, I want to thank you. As my good friend, Pastor Kevin, to say, I work with an organization. We deal with everyone that has a disability here in the Cass County community. My specific job is to navigate the Social Security Administration part, which is a nightmare. Oh, it's a nightmare. But through grace and faith, God has helped me to do that. I like to, and as well as those that are not here personally, but by phone or some other means of correspondence. Yeah. I like to go over our verse for the day. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6 through 10. Put my cheaters on, then we can... I like to just give just a little bit of paraphrase after I read a long verse like this. Verse 6, so we are always confident. Remember that word confident, because we know that while we are living in the body, we are away from our home with the Lord. That tells me that while we are here on earth and we are confident in ourselves, in our beliefs, and we are away from God while we are still here in this body. Verse 7, we live by faith and not by sight. Sometimes, you know, you hear Missouri says, the show me state. You have to show me, but when you are in tune with Jesus, you don't need to see anything. You don't need to know where anything is. All you do, you live by faith, and there it is in front of you. We are confident. There's that word again, confident. And we would prefer to live, to leave the body, and to be at home with the Lord. In other words, what I gather from that is simply this. I would much rather just leave this body, leave this earth, just get away from it and go up into heaven with Jesus. Someone that I know that'll look out for me. Someone that I know that'll take care of me. Someone that I know is going to be there all the time. Let's go to the next verse. So we, our goal is to be acceptable to him, whether we are at home or away from home. Be acceptable to him. Does that mean that we have to do things so that the Lord will accept us, take us in? I don't think so. I think by his grace, if grace was not a part of this, we probably would have some difficulties and have some problems. This is the last verse. Is one that I think is very, very important to every human being. Each and every one of us are different. We all must appear before Christ in the court so that each person can be paid back for the things that were done while in the body, whether they were good or bad. So the things you've done good, you bought a sandwich with someone on the streets. You kind of said your choice words at that person that cut you off in traffic. This verse tells me that somehow we're going to have to give accountable for those things. At this point, I don't care. I just want to leave this body, go up in heaven, talk with my master, ask him why we had to go through all those things, and then he will calmly say, just as smooth as he always is, I need you to be an example for me since I can't be there. How many of us relish that? Each and every one of you were given a card. You can take that out. And those that on, I guess you can call them TV land, or then they're not here physically. The card has two statements on there. Disabled people are useless. Helping those in need is awesome. The last verse that we just read, we have to give an account. Your signature is who you are. Your signature defines you as an individual. Your signature is something that you carry along with you. When you put your signature on something, you agree with it most times. So what I like for each and every one of you to do, sorry about those in TV land, what I like for you to do is just take an ink pen, put your signature by one of those statements. Next segment. I'm just going to spend just a few minutes of you guys' valuable Sunday morning time. I'll be talking with you for the next 2 hours, if that's okay. Sometimes we go through things in our lives that are not pleasant. Sometimes things happen to us that we do question God. Sometimes things just overwhelm us and we don't know how to take care of it. We don't know what to do, who to pray to, what to do. We always have God to turn back to. I'd like to, at this time, just briefly, just give a testimony of some things that kind of crippled my life. Some of the things are difficult for me still. But I was once told that, Joe, these things doesn't happen to you because you are a sinner. These things doesn't happen to you because you've done wrong. Sometimes Christ uses an individual to help someone else. And if that's the case, Jesus, let me be who you want me to be. If I have to go through the burning fire, if I have to take hold of things that are uncomfortable, then let it be. My life started out pretty cold. I became an orphan at 11. I watched, as I'm looking at you now, I watched my mother get shot 5 times trying to protect me, pulling the gun away from the individual that was shooting her. And as I watched that, a little child watching her and then watching her eyes close, I had to do something. I didn't know what to do. It's been difficult even now to talk about it, because the individual that was shooting her was my dad. My mom, my dad, those people that brought you in this world, that's supposed to protect you, lead you on, make you to be a halfway decent person at best. For some reason, he wanted to get rid of me, but my mom stood in between, grabbed the arm with him while he was. She told me to run. I ran. Not knowing the results, I was away from home for a while. 11 years old, I didn't know what to do. And as I returned home, obviously there were people around to explain to me what happened. I became homeless. I slept on the streets. I ate out of dumpsters. I didn't know anything about Christ. And as I look back now, there were very few people that actually tried to talk to me about Christ. Very few people that said, just keep going. Christ loves you. I didn't have that. I don't know why. But something inside just wanted me to just keep pushing, keep going, keep pushing, keep going. I never gave up. And growing up without parents, living on the streets is one of the hardest things that you can do. But I still continue to go to school. I had one pair of pants, one shirt that I wore every single day. Didn't have any place to clean my body. The janitor in the school would let me go in there a little bit before. People can be tough. People can be hard. But if you know that you are in tune with someone that you haven't seen before, Jesus Christ, somehow he puts that in you, and you keep pushing forward. You keep going forward. It doesn't matter if people laugh at you, talk about you. You smell like you've been in the trash can all month. It doesn't matter. Because Jesus is the one that sees over you. If he says you have to walk through the muck, you walk through the muck. If he says you wear a crown, you do whatever he tells, because there is a reason. There is a reason why. You may not like it at that particular time, but there is a reason why. I graduated from high school. And it was kind of unusual because everyone else had their graduation uniform on, where you had jackets, and it was all in tune. I still had my brown pair of pants and my white shirt that at this point was yellow. He made up some kind of reason why I couldn't walk with the class. I didn't walk across the stage. I didn't want to embarrass the school. But I got my diploma. They handed it to me weeks after. But that's okay. I got it. We went through it together. I actually said, I graduated from high school. Moving on just a little bit more. I have two daughters. And at one point I'm thinking, okay, well, the daughters have a dad, daughters have a mom, and I was determined to be the best dad that I possibly can be. I go to work one morning. I'll never forget the day. It was a Tuesday morning. And as I was working, Joe, line two or whatever it was, answered the phone, and it was my daughter's mother. She just made a simple statement. I'm not coming back anymore. What? She left my two daughters and myself alone. They were still in diapers. And I'm standing there again wondering, what am I going to do? So again, that all-famous person came into mind. That all-famous individual that you can always turn to, regardless if you do anything wrong, regardless if everything is going right, that all-famous person, which we all know is Jesus, was right there again for me. Kept my job, kept working, kept doing the best I could to raise my girls the best that they could, teaching them about Christ. Not just by mouth, but I had to do it by sight. They had to see that Daddy meant what he said, that Daddy does trust in God. And today, my oldest one is 30, my youngest one is 27, even though I am 24 years old. My oldest one is a graduate from UCM. In psychology. My youngest one just graduated from, well, not just, but graduated from MU in the medical field. That's not my doing. Jesus knew the plan he had for them. I just had to be there to help follow it through. My daughters are very good girls. Sometimes I look at them, I wonder, I mean, did I raise you girls? I mean, they are very good girls. And here again, it's that almighty Jesus' name that has helped. And today they are doing great things. The youngest one was taking part in helping get this COVID vaccination done, or trying to find a cure for it, or what. My oldest one has the mind to be the psychiatrist for the FBI. They have great things in their mind, and I can feel proud. So I can almost imagine that when we in this body do what Christ asked us to do, how the master must feel when he said, "That's my son, that's my daughter." How he sticks out his chest, turns to his dad. "You see, Dad, when they believe, when they believe, when they do what I asked them to do, see what happens." Every day you walk, just imagine Christ sticking his chest out because of the things that you've said, you've done, you've trying to accomplish. He's just sticking his chest out. "Yes, again, that's my son. That's my daughter. I'm proud of him." And then when someone wants to say, "Well, they're human, they make mistakes." Jesus doesn't say, "Well, you know, we got to forget." Jesus said, "That is still my son, still my daughter. It doesn't matter what they've done. It doesn't matter. They are still part of me." So stick your chest out through faith. I like to, at this point, read two verses on faith. Sometimes I like to memorize them, but when you're dealing with the Bible, I wanted to get exactly what it says. And in John 11, 40th verse, Jesus replied, "Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see God's glory?" Proverbs 17, 22, "A joyful heart helps healing, but a broken spirit dries up the bones." I think that when you feel as though that things are gone, you have no more hope, that your body, your inner body just wants to give up. Suicide rate in this country has reached an epidemic, so to speak. Is that because we as Christians have not reached and talked to people about Jesus Christ, letting those individuals know that there is someone that they can turn to? Or is it just because of the sinful nation of our society? I don't know. I just want to be able that when the time comes and I'm standing in front of Jesus and he's looking at me, he's not shaking his head, "Okay, well, you just squeeze in, just go ahead on." I want him to be proud of me. I want to be that Christian or that individual where the devil say, "Okay, let's go see what we can tempt Joe today." And then all of a sudden the devil come, "No, we don't need them." I want the devil to be afraid to mess with me because he knows I have somebody in my corner. I don't want to be that person that, "Okay, well, yeah, we can tempt that individual. We can." I want the devil to be so afraid of him, he doesn't even try. And if for some reason he does, I just look to the heavens and I know my Jesus is there. I know he's going to be there no matter what happens, what temptation, whether I pass it or fail it. Jesus will always be there for me. That's what kept me to this point now. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. We've got to keep calling that name. We've got to keep calling it. We've got to have it in our hearts. Those that are sitting here today, those that are listening through TV, we've got to keep calling Jesus Christ's name. There is no other way. No other way. As Pastor mentioned earlier, I'm from Casco, right down this, well, let me see, yeah, right down the street here. We service the Cass County community, Pleasant Hill, Raymore, Peculiar, all of Cass County. Anyone that has a disability, we try to help them. We find them work, we either find them work in the community or right there on campus. We find them housing. And what my specific duties are is to, when they go to the Social Security office or they make a telephone call and they on hold for literally hours, I help navigate through that so that they can get their Social Security checks, so they can get anything that has to do with Social Security. This pandemic really has hurt a lot of people, because a lot of benefits have been frozen because of it. But we continue to go forward. It's interesting how I came upon Casco. I had just finished teaching. I teach or taught criminal law at two universities. And I was just tired of it. So I was going to retire, go down to the Lake of the Ozarks, build a log cabin, just go fishing every day or eat popsicles or whatever it is that you know, people do. So Laura and I were just talking, you know, me doing most of the talking, I guess. And I forgot about it afterward. Then all of a sudden someone came to me and said, Joe, you need to go to this organization here and apply for a job. No, I've worked almost 800 years. I don't want to work anymore. I'm tired. My daughters are grown up now. You know, they're living their own lives. So I say, okay. So I go there, and I sit down, interview, and I didn't give it my all because I had no intentions. I had no intentions on working again. That impression came into my heart again. I said, oh, Lord, you're talking to me again, aren't you? So it came about that they hired me. They had no position there for me. None. Why'd you hire me? But then they created this position where I go out and speak with people. Outreach. I've made a lot of friends. I'm going to mention one of the friends that I've made, and I hope that you guys don't start throwing things at me. But as on a one-on-one basis, he's a nice guy. And that's the Lieutenant Governor, Mike Kehoe. He's a pretty good guy. He and I, we talk all the time. The Lieutenant Governor's aide, son, has autism. And that's one of the connections that we have. So, as was said, I've been at Casco for almost 4 years now. Anyone with a disability is what we try to do to help them. We've grown, we've just acquired 7 houses for people to live in. But that's not us. For some reason, the Lord directed me to that point. And I could have been sort of like Jonah, and, hey, look, no, man, I'm not going there. I want to retire. But, and I will say, reluctantly, I followed the Lord's word, and I did that, and I have no regrets whatsoever. I'd like to give a testimony about this next issue. It hurts bifold. I don't know how many people here have will realize it or not, but my skins are just a little bit darker than yours, maybe. Just a tad bit. It's unfortunate that in our society that's what some people judge a man's character on, just because of his skin color. And as the people at Casco that have disabilities, and what we try to do is, when someone has a disability, we want to push them aside. We want to tell them to stay in the house or give them a coloring book. We don't want them out in society or in the community, especially if their feet drag behind them or their speech is slurred or they may not have the facial appearance, or some people may call them ugly. We just want to push them aside. Now I know why Christ asked me to go there. It's because I know what it feels like to be told you're not wanted here. I know what it feels like to be told you're not qualified. I know what it feels like to be pushed aside. I know what it feels like. Just this past week, 2 weeks ago, I go into a store. I order something. And the individual that was taking orders, following through, was talking to everyone just as normal as you can see. And I asked for a certain item, and the individual looked at me and said, start talking loud as though I was deaf. And we only have two of these, and I had no idea what she was doing, none. Does this item come can I get two different pairs of this? We only serve it two in a pair. Two. Yes, I'd like to have two. No, two. And finally, I just looked, and I literally just walked out. And then other people came in and just got treated a little different. I was in the Walmart parking lot here about a month ago. As I was carrying my groceries, there was an individual that was driving their car. And you know, sometimes people in Walmart, when they're driving their car, they like they on the speedway. I mean, they're just going. they don't stop or slow down. So in this, I didn't think it was any different. Individual stopped. Looked at me. I was in the crosswalk, stopped, looked at me, and went on, knocked my basket over, food and everything flying everywhere. And as I was there trying to pick it up, people were walking past me and just stepping over the things that I had. No one would help me. No one came and asked me if everything was okay. No one even made an attempt. They just stepped over the things. If something was in their way, they just kicked it over. At this point, I had tears in my eyes, and I said, I'm only human. What have I done to you? I can mention several other incidences, but the point I'm trying to make now is we're all God's children. It doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter how deformed you may be. I dare and I challenge any one of you right now, talk to God, ask him, say, God, Jesus, that individual is black. Surely they're not going to make it into heaven. Jesus, that individual is deformed. They can't walk. Surely they're not going to make it into heaven. I will make it there because I'm perfect. I've always said, one of my prayers is, I hope that I can be, and I strive to be, as perfect as those that judge me. One day, It's tough being in this body. And sometimes it's tough being this color. There's not a week that goes by that I'm confronted with something. For some reason, my health has been afflicted. My health has been deteriorated. My health has been pretty bad. I go into the doctor's office one day because I wasn't feeling well. They took tests, and it seemed like it took forever for the test to come. And then the nurse, doctor, she came back and said, Mr. Barron, you have diabetes. I had no idea what that meant 20 years ago. So she told me what needed to happen and what we needed to do. So today, I take anywhere from 6 to 8 shots a day, and sometimes I got to measure more. Things are not going well here. It's all messed up inside. I need a new one. And so how much does a new pancreas cost? Oh, about $60,000. Okay, I'll write you a check. Who has that money in their back pocket? So the pain is always there. Eyesight is gone. The feet are turning black. But I have an option. I can say, well, Jesus, I can't do this anymore. Jesus, please feel sorry. No! You keep fighting until you can't fight anymore, because Jesus will give you that faith. He will give you that courage to fight on further. And just, I like to read 2 verses. Did I do something here?
Holy Spirit.
Okay. Uh-oh, shaking him up, boy. Shaking him up. 2 verses about courage. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong. Be fearless. Don't be afraid, and don't be scared by your enemies, because the Lord your God, who is the one who marches with you, he won't let you down, and he won't abandon you. Psalms 31:24. All you who wait for the Lord, be strong and let your heart take courage. I depend on verses in the Bible. I depend on talking with Jesus, because although as a great friend that Kevin may be to me, sometimes the encouragement that he gives me need a little bit more on top of it, and that's where Jesus comes in. I am so grateful and so blessed to have a friend like him. I thank you guys. Have a wonderful pastor, and I'd like for you to give him, show him your appreciation. Show him your appreciation. Show it to him. You're the man. I go to the hospital again. This time I was in, I had gone to a church service. I was not a member of the church. So I left a little early, you know, and I couldn't make it to my car. I couldn't breathe. I was like, man. Air is thick out here. So what was happening, I was having a heart attack, and I went back into the church. And after going to the hospital, I was told that the left side of my heart, the bottom half, is damaged, is gone, it doesn't work anymore. And since then, I've had 4 heart failures. Fluid just built up. The reason I drink a sip of water, and next thing I know, I'm in the hospital because the heart can't, is not strong enough to pump that. So I'm dealing with that every single day. I have to watch it. I can only drink maybe 1 liter of liquid, and they told me that that includes food. So if I eat an orange, then I have to calculate how much liquid that is. It is horrible. It's tough. But then you have the courage to keep going. Because if I look at myself, why am I going through these different things? Then that's when it gets tough. But when I say, Lord, not my will, but your will, and you keep on going, you keep on pushing, you keep on doing the things that you know that you can do, because Jesus has a way of making things that you think are wrong, making them seem like they're right. I'm going to mention last bit of my testimony here, and that is I got jaundice. I didn't know it. All I knew was my eyeballs were getting yellow and everything was red that I was when I go to the restroom. So I go to the restroom, arm was swollen, and take all these tests. You know, you get in that spaceship thing, and then they make you hold your breath for 20 seconds. Who can hold their breath for 20 seconds? You know, and then they say, breathe, and then when you start breathing again, hold. Oh, man. So I get out of that, and then the doctors come, and then they showed me a thing. And as I'm laying there, you know, they had just finished putting a stent back here. Then they tell me that, Mr. Barron, you have pancreatic cancer. I don't know if my reaction was what they were expecting, because I didn't start crying, jumping up and down. Oh, man. I just said, well, the Lord takes care of his own. And they looked at me like I was nuts. So as I stand before you, I'm battling cancer. And then the stent that was put in was eaten up by the poison or the cancer. And so they had to put another one in a couple weeks ago. And that's when they told me that they actually asked me if I wanted another one in. And the reason they asked me that is because they said, well, we want to do this because you only have a few months to live. And that was a month ago. So as I stand before you now, I'm terminal. I may make it home. I may make it through tomorrow. I don't know. But right now, that's not the biggest concern. I ask the Lord to allow me to just give my testimony one more time, and then his will, if it's his will for me to go, then at least he followed through with his promise. My birthday was Friday. He allowed me to see that. I asked him, allow me to see my birthday, and then allow me just one more testimony. And it's my own word is fantabulous that Kevin and I got together. It wasn't that we played phone tag. He got together. The Lord knew. But I don't feel like I'm losing. The pain is, I hurt all the time. Pancreatic cancer is one of the most aggressive cancers, and I'm learning this, that there is. And to be terminal, well, there's nothing I can do about it. You can't buy another pancreas, I guess. I don't know. All I know is that I want to continue to put my trust in Jesus, because without my having trust, then I won't believe that he will heal me. This coming week, we're going to do another test to see if we can cut it out or if it's worth cutting out and just let me live my days and I'll stop taking chemo. I have a pick in my arm right here that leads to my chest. So every Friday I go and sit there for 4 hours while they give me chemo, and you're talking about one of the most awful feelings to have. Anyone that you know that have gone through cancer, gone through these treatments, you don't want to eat. Since the time that I've known about it until now, I've lost almost 80 pounds. I mean, I'm used to going in the gym, doing different things, but I can't do those things anymore. My goal is, when I talk to people about some of the issues or about my testimony, is not but for one thing, and just to let those that hear have that little inkling that Jesus is real. Jesus is real. It doesn't matter what you believe and how you think. Oh, well, man, I can't see him. Man, I prayed to Jesus for that new Jeep last week and he didn't give it to me. That's what Jesus is, not our personal genie. Jesus is there to protect us, to tell us that individual there that may not know about him, talk to him about him. That's all I want. When I'm laid down, I don't want to be known as the guy that had the fastest sports car or the fanciest shoes or whatever it is. I just like to be known as the individual that loved Jesus, trusted Jesus, and everything that happens in his life is for the best. Because sometimes, because we suffer through things, does it mean that we've done something wrong? As an example, the things that I'm going through doesn't mean that I've done something wrong. Maybe it's for Kevin to, oh man, it's probably for Kevin's benefit. It's probably for your benefit. That's how we look at it. There are those that not only take the glass of water and lemonade, but they make lemonade. They take that step forward. And then there are those that not only grab that bull by the horn, but they wrestle it down and to get rid of all those vices. They get rid of those all addictions. And then there are those that not only get back on that horse after they didn't fell off of him, they get back on and they ride, believing through faith that God would give them courage that will lead them to be victorious. There are those that believe in Jesus Christ. That's how we all should be.